Galesburg's Morning News.
8:13, Galesburg's Morning News on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Tom Ertis, Jim Lee, Cameron Lyon, thanks for being with us here on this Wednesday morning. Well, we talk a lot about what's going on here in the state of Illinois. Budget is probably the number one thing. We'll talk a little bit about education funding, if that's something that's a priority, and especially here in District 205 and some of the surrounding districts with the RIF cuts and things going on. And we're happy to be joined this morning by 37th District State Senator Chuck Weaver out of Peoria. Senator, thanks for coming in with us this morning. Appreciate your time.
Great. Tom and Jim, great to be here. Really appreciate you guys letting me come in and kind of catching people up on what's happening and my perspective on it. So thank you for that.
Oh, very good. Well, let's start off with the budget. Obviously, we've gone on, I don't remember how many months now or years without, and it's become such a mess. And there's been proposals out there on, I think, both sides, Senate most recently, and do you see any light at the end of a tunnel at all?
Well, you know, we had the grand bargain that was proposed about 6 weeks ago, and that's still out there. And, you know, our leader on the minority Republican side is Christine Rodonio. She worked with the president of the Senate, Tom Cullerton. And those two, frankly, was behind the scenes, which was very good. I had dinner with Tom Cullerton the other night. He is a deal maker. He wants to see things come together. And Christine's worked very well with him. So they came up with 12 bills that they brought to the floor. Those bills, we have not been able to get those passed. But with that in mind, there's kind of a parallel path going on right now to a degree, and that is a number of bills that are going to be coming out of the Christine Rodonio's sponsoring these bills that still try to solve some problems. One of those is the Unbalanced Budget Response Act that the governor's been talking about for a while. And, you know, people say he never presented a budget. He has presented a budget each year. And then he has said, you know, bring this back to me for final approval. And he's given guidelines of what he wants to accomplish. Since that hasn't happened, this Unbalanced Budget Response Act would basically give him the ability and the tools to go in and manage the budget individually. And if they can't agree on what needs to happen with regard to a tax increase and the reforms that go with it, this is a way to give a little bit of certainty to where we are today. So that's a good thing.
Hmm. Is this something that would have to have General Assembly approval too?
Yes, it would.
Which is obviously always the sticking point, especially when you get to the House as much as the Senate, right?
Yes, it is. But it's another effort to try to get us some certainty with regard to how we're going to spend dollars and try to work through this.
You know, the leadership in the House and Senate, of course, especially on the House side, been there for a long, long, long time. And, you know, and we talked numerous times with Don Moffitt as a representative about the fact that it is in our state constitution, it is law that we have to have a budget each year and a balanced budget. I mean, do you get any sense from the leadership in the Senate or at all in Springfield that's even a concern? It doesn't seem that it is.
It's absolutely a concern, but you still have this dilemma of, and I try to be nonpartisan as much as I can when I'm out talking. And, you know, if I'm a Democrat sitting here right now, I may be pretty positive about who Mike Madigan is. This man has been an amazing negotiator for the folks and the special interest groups that he specifically recommends. Myself, right now, when you look at the numbers, though, his policies have gotten us into a heck of a spot. And I think especially downstate people realize that even on the Democratic side, there needs to be a new leader on that side. In fact, Senator Biss, I don't know if you saw yesterday, announced that he was going to run, and he said two things. One of them is about Rauner's leadership, and the other one was about Madigan, that Madigan's lost the right to lead, which coming from a Democrat, that took a lot of bravery. But also I think he's accurate that we need to have a change on that House side.
Mm. There's a thought that nothing's going to get done in Springfield until the next gubernatorial election that some of, and especially maybe Michael Madigan, have dug in their heels just waiting to try and get new leadership in the governor's office. Is that something that you're feeling too, or do you think that we can overcome that?
Absolutely. Mike Madigan does not want to see Governor Rauner get another election. No doubt about it. You know, people ask about, you know, when I'm close to it, I see it. I think I understand the numbers as well as anybody down there. And they ask me about should the governor fold? And, I've been thinking about this story that I'd like to share. So I've got a guy that's been a friend for a long time, called me up, said, Chuck, I need some help. I sat down with him. I know he's always had drug problems. Visited with him. He said, I got $100 cash. I owe my dealer $11,000, and I've got $130,000 in other debts, and my children are suffering. Will you help me out? And I said, well, will you go to rehab? He said, nope, I won't go to rehab. I said, well, I won't help you out. Now, that's not a true story. Mm-hmm. That is not a true story. That is our state government. If you add six zeros onto those numbers, you got $100 million in a checking account, you owe $11 billion today, and you owe $130 billion unfunded pensions. And the drug dealer is the state legislature that's saying, I want my money, and the governor is saying, I'll give you money, but you got to go through rehab. That's the whole ballgame. So if you take it right down to your next-door neighbor, would you give more money to an organization that doesn't spend it properly and continues to dig a bigger hole? Mm-hmm. And just to kind of close the loop on that, you know, 2011, they got a tax increase. During that period of time, our unfunded pensions went up $32 billion. Our bond ratings went down five times, and we didn't increase education spending. So this time around, the governor said, and this is hard for a Republican, I'll agree to your tax increases, but in exchange, I got to know we're fixing the problem.
37th District State Senator Chuck Weaver joining us here this morning. You know, and some would say the difference between Governor Rauner and some of the other Republicans that have been in, for instance, Jim Edgar, that Edgar was willing to make some concessions to get things done, but the current Governor Rauner has just, here's what we're going to do and this is it. So you got him on one side doing that and Madigan on the other side kind of doing that. Is that kind of the sense you get that Rauner won't?
That is exactly it. And you know, when these 12 bills came to us, I looked at the list and I put them into red, green, and yellow. And there was two greens I was comfortable supporting. The rest I wasn't ready to support. And I came back to, and I told the leader I was willing to support two of them, Leader Redonio. I came back to her 2 weeks later and I did a lot of soul searching. And I said, you know, these bills are all tied together and I don't want any part of them. And I said, will you let me off of those two bills? I don't want to support them. And she said, what's going on? I said, you know, I've thought about this. I'm not going to support a program that only slows down the decline of our state. And that's what's happened in the past. They tried to slow down the decline. If it's not going to actually make things better, I'm not going to vote for it, right? And so I've got to be able to, and there's going to be a tax increase, and I probably won't be one of the ones, I won't be one of the ones supporting that. But if I'm going to support any of the other bills, I got to be able to look at people and say, this was part of a package. There is a tax increase in that package, but the pain is going to be worth where we go when we're done. And we're actually turning the state around. And I think that's what people want. I mean, we've folded and folded and folded to the speaker's power. And Chicago has different dynamics. They're not bad folks. They just have different dynamics than we do. They can operate differently. And I think folding to that is no longer acceptable. We got to stand strong.
Mm. Chuck, how long do you think this could go on in this situation? I mean, just because we get to the next gubernatorial election, that doesn't necessarily mean anything will change. Maybe we'd get a different person, but you know, even on the Democratic side, we had Pat Quinn, and things weren't necessarily snowballing in a good direction there, even though that's who they wanted. I mean, can the state of Illinois, can we last without going bankrupt at some point if we don't get this thing changed?
Can't go bankrupt right now. A state cannot go bankrupt.
Really?
Now, you know, Detroit declared bankruptcy. Right. But under U.S. law right now, a state cannot go bankrupt. A city can go bankrupt if it's approved by the state. So Chicago could declare bankruptcy. But a lot of these bills that we have are tied to pensions. And our Constitution says you cannot reduce that pension. So I believe even if we got authority to go bankrupt, our Constitution would say yes, but you're still got to. And you know what? You make deals, you keep them.
That was always Don Moffitt's position. He wanted to honor the agreements that had been made prior to that.
So. You bet. But we also need to say if you're coming into the system today, there needs to be changes. And part of one of these grand bargain packages has a 401k for everyone new coming in the system. So you've got to work the old folks through the system and get through that the best we can.
37th District State Senator Chuck Weaver joining us here this morning. Senator, anything else specifically on the budget you'd like to get to?
No, I think we hit on it. There'll probably be a tax increase when it happens. But right now, I just saw this week, Illinois is the highest taxing state in the country, $8,162 for every man, woman, and child. So I'm sorry, every family, $8,162.
And thus people keep leaving the state. You know, it just it's a tough time. Let's get to next topic, education funding. Of course, we talk with our local superintendents, Ralph Grimm here in District 205 and Knoxville District 202, Rova District 208, among others. And, you know, it is tough for the schools. Last year, kind of, I guess, kind of an 11th hour deal struck to fund the education. The tough thing with that for the superintendents, they're already obviously working on their budgets for next year. But how can you do that when you have no idea how much or if you're getting any money from the state? Is there anything, any negotiations on that in particular at this point?
There are absolutely negotiations. And I think for Republicans in the Senate, Democrats in the Senate House, you know, all folks working down there, education, I think, is consistently the most important thing across the board. And, you know, last year, that's what caused our stopgap budget to happen, was end of June. We decided that folks came together to say, we've got to put something together. Now, the problem with that is some of that's not getting funded today. So you've got this dilemma. I believe we'll have a budget for education. The question is, will it then get funded properly? And that's something yet to be seen. Right now, you asked me a little different question that, though, and that is are there negotiations going on? So in the governor's budget address, he laid out general guidelines for what he wants to see happen, and he had just, prior to that, presented his the commission had been working on education across the state. In fact, Jody Scott from here in Galesburg is on that, and boy, what a wonderful woman. She serves on my education advisory committee, and she understands education and really works with people. But anyway, she was on that commission. They came out with a very clear direction where they'd like to see things to go. On the Republican side, Jason Berrickman's probably our leader on education. On the Democratic side, Andy Menar. Those two talk a lot. I'm the minority spokesperson for education. I see them in committee talking a lot before and after. And I talked to Jason last week. He feels that those two are getting close to what they feel is the right way to go forward funding education. And that's on a long-term perspective, how we actually break the dollars down.
I was going to say, would you anticipate another stopgap type thing again this year? Or
I'm embarrassed to say this, but it's a reality of what happens. Things happen in Springfield with pressure points, right? It should be adults saying we need to solve this, but all of a sudden you're up against a wall, and that's when things happen. That's negotiations generally happen that way. So I believe education funding is probably what will bring it to a head. The governor's very clear last year, I will never do a stopgap again. Now, I believe he was setting it up for this year to say, nope, won't do it, and he'll wear that if he does. Obviously, if schools aren't getting funded, but he'll wear that saying, no, this is it. We've got to solve this. Now we'll see if that works, see if who folds.
I'm guessing,
we're playing people's lives here.
Yeah. I'm guessing not a day goes by that you are not hearing from constituents, whether it be a superintendent, a principal, a teacher, parents that are in your district.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, when I explain people this concept of I won't support a budget that only slows down the decline, I have yet to have a person say, Chuck, that's wrong. You just need to fold and let Madigan have one more win that continues down this path of destruction.
Well, I guess, as you mentioned, since states are not able to declare bankruptcy, that would mean that we would just continue in this downward spiral, owing money, and the interest keeps growing and growing. So at some point, the state no credit.
You have to have reform.
Yeah.
Period. You have to have reform. And that's what I explain to people. It's hard to do standing here, but I kind of with my hands show a downward graph and say, you know, we're headed to a spot of no return. What the governor and I believe Republicans are trying to do right now is say, before we get to that spot, let's turn this thing around so we can get to survival as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. And Chuck, as a longtime businessman and involved in philanthropy, you've spent a lot of your life, you know, rolling up your sleeves and saying, okay, let's get this done. Let's get this done for the betterment of the people, and had great success in that. How much has this taxed your perseverance to be in this position and just not being able to have as much control over getting things done as you'd like to have?
People ask if I'm frustrated. I'm not frustrated because, you know, I can't change other people. All I can do is change how I deal with other people and try to be as productive as I can. And so that's about how am I working at things. But I am more concerned probably the last 2 or 3 weeks than I've been the whole time I've been in there. And that is because this uncertainty it affects morale so much. And we've got to have people that are out there knowing that they're going to have jobs, that our state's going to get turned around. And I believe in the governor enough to believe that he is not going to fold unless he can turn it around. And then it comes down to if Madigan holds him off till the next election. I hope people are willing to support him and send one final message that, no, we're not going to accept the status quo that is a downward spiral we can't get out of.
Joined by 37th District State Senator Chuck Weaver here this morning. One more thing on the education funding. I know the governor has mentioned a property tax freeze, which property owners say that is great. That's the greatest thing ever, and especially if you're up in the Chicago area, especially Cook County, it's ridiculous how much you're paying anyway. But then you've got the superintendent saying, well, wait, unless the education funding system gets changed, what are we going to do? We're not getting the money from the state, and the only way we can get any other money is to raise property taxes. So kind of a conundrum as far as that goes.
It's a tight situation. You know, we're second highest in property tax in the country. And what the governor said, the property tax freeze is always intended to be temporary. And what that is a negotiating tool to say, because the public wants a property tax freeze. Those in leadership in schools, in park districts, in municipalities say, no, we can't survive it. And what the governor says is, I'm going to help you survive it because we're going to reduce mandates and give you more ability to manage. That is going to still be tough for these folks who are in management roles in these governmental bodies. But the reality is our property taxes are high, but he wants that to be a two-year freeze. And he is staying on that. He has said that for this tax increase to go into place, it needs to be tied in a time frame to this property tax freeze.
Senator, anything else you'd like to get to this morning?
I just cannot thank you guys enough, because right now we're having a war of words to a degree in our state, and it's important people understand the dynamics of what's happening so they can make wise decisions as they vote. And there's an election coming up here in 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
In Galesburg. And yeah. I tell you what, folks need to be educated. People say, what can I do? I say, do math. When a guy's out telling you what he's going to do, say, can that really work? You know, and then be very serious about how they vote.
Yeah, because quite often, you know, we see in the numbers and talking with the county clerk and the city clerk about the elections that the numbers are always way down for these local things that affect your lives in more of a day-to-day way than the other elections.
That's exactly
do.
So, right. All right. You bet.
Senator, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really do appreciate it. Look forward to chatting again.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Galesburg's Morning News with Tom Meredith and Jim Lee.